I think many times we have choices, but we don't always choose wisely. And I like what he says at the very beginning here. He says, be imitators, not of church people. Don't be imitators of the world. Don't be imitators of imitators. Be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children. I'm fascinated by people who imitate people. Rich Little used to be a person that I listened to all the time. I enjoyed his impersonations. He still is amazing. I don't hear him much any longer, but I loved hearing the way that he impersonated other people. And I remember watching him one night. I believe he was on The Tonight Show many years ago. He was a fairly young man at the time, and he was being so applauded for how well he was doing. And so Johnny Carson asked him, you know, how long does it take you to get somebody's voice down? Or, you know, and he says, well, I tell you, I don't just listen to their voice. He says, I look at their mannerisms. I listen to their ups and downs in their voices. I do all kinds of study on the person before I even try to sound like them. In fact, he says, typically, I will listen to a tape of a person for about 8 straight hours before I even try to sound like them. He said, some people are a little easier to pick up than others. And Johnny Carson asked him, he said, well, give me an example. He says, well, the easiest one for me was the Duke. He says, well, I just listened to him, and he sounded like the Duke. And so it was easy to pick it up because he talked in a certain way. But then he says, now, Jimmy Stewart was a little harder. He said, because he stuttered quite a bit. And you know, me and Martha, we've been together for a long time. So he was just talking about the ways that he imitated people. I wonder if we spent that much time trying to imitate God, what would happen? Well, Paul says we ought to be imitators of God. And this is how he says to do it. In verses 1 and 2, he talks about walking in closeness. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of what? Of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. You see, there's nothing that imitates God better than love, because that's who God is. God is love. And so if we want to imitate God, be imitators of God, we need to walk in love. We need to walk in such a way that we love people all around us. We love the people that He's made. And we need to love them the way that He loves them. That's what imitating means. It means to love in the same way that God loves. Well, how does God love? He loves unconditionally. We typically love conditionally, which really isn't love at all. It's a chosen like. I'll like you if I want to. But that's not love. His love is unconditional. His love is sacrificial. Those are the two main things about God's love that's above any other kind of love that this world talks about. In fact, I used to tell teenagers all the time, you know, you use love in a lot of different ways. You know, you say, I love pizza. I love my car. I love going out on Friday night. I love doing this. I love, you know what? You like doing all those things a lot. But love means you're committed. You've given everything unconditionally, and you're not going to take it back. Real love cannot be taken back. It's unconditional. So we are to walk in love. And we are also to walk in forgiveness. I want to read this verses back in chapter 4, verse 32. It says this. It says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. How? Just as in Christ, God forgave you. Did God forgive you of most of your sins? No, He forgave you of all your sins. God completely forgave you. God completely forgave me. That's the kind of love that God has. He loves us so much that He was willing to forgive us completely because all of our sins were placed upon Jesus. Here's the definition. Forgiveness means releasing someone or pardoning them and leaving the punishment up to God. In other words, if there's somebody in your life that's just rubbed you the wrong way and you have something going on between you and them and you don't know how in the world you can forgive them, this is how you forgive them. You release them and leave whatever needs to happen up to God. That's true forgiveness. And it's based on love. That's what God did for us. He released us and pardoned us because He put all the punishment upon Jesus Christ. And so now there's nothing that separates us from Him. In fact, the Scripture says He remembers our sins no more because Jesus took the punishment. So if we're going to walk in closeness to God, we have to walk in love and we have to walk in forgiveness. I don't know about you, but that's a big order to fill at first. But once we start realizing what God is expecting from us, and when we start looking at people in a different way, instead of looking at them the way we want to from our selfish desires, we start looking at them and we see them like God sees them. It makes a whole change in how we see people and how we react to people and how we treat people. So we are to walk in closeness, verses 1 and 2. Then he says, walk in cleanliness. Look at verses 3 and 4. It says, but among you there must not be even a hint. Not even a hint of sexual immorality, of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, or foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. So we are to walk in cleanliness. First of all, impurity. The phrase there, not a hint term, means there's no stain. There's no cloudiness. There's nothing. In other words, the only way to be stained by this sin is to be a part of it. So we just need to stay away from it. We need to stay away from the coarse joking. We need to stay away from the sexual immorality. We need to stay away from it. To make sure we should not even get close to it. It really literally means to live above reproach. I had a friend back in college who used to be quite an amazing singer, and he was sharing with our teenagers one night when he came to give his testimony, and he says, he sang a song, Walking Too Close to the Fire, and he said, that's what we tend to do. He says, we get as close to the fire as we can get without getting burned. Just get as close as we can, but don't want to get burned. But he says, sooner or later, you're going to get too close. And you're going to get burned. And I remember it kind of made an impact on the number of our teenagers because they were living the kind of life where they were going out and doing the same kinds of things other teenagers were doing, just hoping that it didn't really make a whole lot of difference. But it does. It makes a difference in your testimony. It makes a difference in what people believe about you and what people believe about God. Not a hint means no stain. To make sure we should not even get close to it, to live above reproach. So we need to walk in purity. And then he says we need to walk in thanksgiving. So turn from speaking filth to speaking faith. I also knew a young man who, before he was saved, he had a pretty bad mouth. And he was always, you know, cursing and telling dirty jokes and all that kind of stuff. But I remember the summer that we went to camp and he came to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And it's amazing what that did to his speech. Now, he wasn't perfect right off the bat. But I guarantee you, it changed the way he thought. It changed from the inside out. In thanksgiving, we ought to turn from speaking filth to speaking faith. See, filthy, foolish talk, as it's talked about here, comes from a filthy, foolish heart. The scripture says whatever is in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. Words of thanksgiving come from a heart that's overflowing with praise. You see, there's people who all they talk about is how bad it is and how everything, man, you're never going to get better, and woe is me. And it's just like you finally go, I don't even want to be around them because they're Debbie Downer and they just, everything's bad. But words of thanksgiving come from a heart that is overflowing with praise. How do you want to be known? Do you want to be a person that is full of God's cleanliness, pure, walking with Him, and full of the thanksgiving of God? Is that what you want? Or do you don't care? And
you want to do what you want to do. Psalm 141, verse 3.
Is my mic not working? I put new batteries in it. I'll turn this way. All right. Psalm 141, 3. Set a guard, Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. I tell you what, folks, you may want to say something, but if God is watching over your mouth, He can keep you from saying something that you know you shouldn't say anyway. And boy, wouldn't we all be better if we really kept a guard on our mouth, if we really thought about that and kept that in our minds and our hearts. So we need to walk in closeness. We need to walk in cleanliness. And then verses 5 and 6 tell us that we need to walk in wisdom. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. We need to walk in wisdom. Wisdom is seeing things from God's perspective. The opposite of that is the foolish person. The foolish person believes there's no consequence for sin, so they're just going to keep doing it. You know, hey, it's my lifestyle. It's what I do. I don't really care. I don't care if I hurt anybody else. I'm just doing what I want to do. I only have one life, and I'm going to live it the way I want to live it. And there's no conviction in their life because their God is themselves and they live to please that God. And the scripture calls them an idolater. An idolater is anyone who puts something else in place of God, including themselves. That's the foolish person. And I've known plenty of them. I think even in my own life I'm that way sometimes. I'm a foolish person. And then there's the wise person. The wise person is the one who hears God, not only hears Him, but obeys Him. I remember as a young boy, and that was a couple of years back, as a young boy, I would hear my mom tell me to do something. And even children have a choice of whether they're going to obey or disobey. I wasn't very wise many times because I just went ahead and did what I wanted to do. A wise person is one who hears God and then obeys Him. One who's not easily deceived because they listen to the Spirit of God. You see, the person that's deceived so easily is not listening to the Spirit of God, because God's Spirit will always tell you what to do and always lead you where you should go. The wise person realizes that He is Lord over everything in their lives, every portion of their lives. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. But whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. You see, if we live according to the Spirit, we will become wise, because we'll hear God speak, and then we'll follow what it is that He says for us to do. So we need to walk in wisdom. And fourthly tonight, we need to walk as saints. Look at what it says in verse 7. Paul kind of finishes up this section by saying, therefore, do not be partners with them. He was just talking about people who are immoral, impure, greedy. They deceive themselves. He says, therefore, do not be partners with them. In other words, it doesn't say don't be around them. It says don't be partners with them. A partner is someone who's linked up with somebody else and they have the same goal in mind. We need to walk as somebody that's different. So when we sang that song tonight, Holiness, it means we want to be different. We want to be like God, not like this world. We want to be like Jesus instead of like us. The Scripture says we are to live a holy life. Holy means set apart. See, when people see us, they should see Him. And I wonder how many times they don't see God in us because we're living for ourselves and for our desires. This holiness can only come from Him. We have no holiness in ourselves. We cannot stand of our own good merits. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6 says, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Doesn't matter how good you try to act. If it's based on selfishness and your own desires, it is like a filthy rag to God. Romans chapter 6, verse 19, just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourself as slaves to righteousness, which leads to holiness. We have a choice. We always have a choice. Do you want to walk in holiness? Romans chapter 6, just a few verses later, verse 22, says, but now that you have been set free from sin and you become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. Then he also demands that we be set apart, different, changed. You see, when you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, Lord means He's in charge now and we're not. We are changed from the inside out. We're transformed from what we used to be to what God wants us to be. Now, it's not an overnight change. I mean, it is spiritually. We've been set free. We've been made brand new. But we need to continue to walk in Him so that we can learn from Him and have fellowship with Him and gain His wisdom and allow His Spirit to guide us. And so our receptors to the Holy Spirit become better and better and better each day that we spend in the presence of God. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, therefore, Paul says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, what He's done for you, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And don't conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve that God's will is His good, pleasing, and perfect will. 2 Corinthians 5:17 reminds us that in Christ, if anyone's in Christ, we are a new creation. The new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. Saints means set apart or sanctified. You know, a lot of people think saints are somebody that's very special because of the Catholic thoughts. Somebody that's been set apart and very special, and they're only the only person that could be a saint. No, a saint is a person who's been sanctified. That's where the word comes from. Have you been sanctified? Of course you have. If you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, because now God looks at you as though you had never sinned. Isn't that amazing? As though you had never sinned, you are set apart and sanctified. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. You see, God wants us to be different. He wants us to be changed. So we must choose wisely every single day if we're going to walk in love and forgiveness, if we're going to walk in purity and thanksgiving, if we're going to not choose not to be a foolish person, but a wise person. If we're going to walk in holiness, and if we are going to be set apart and used by our Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Dear Lord, You've called us. You've chosen to bless us with an amazing relationship of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You love us so very much. But Lord, it's not for our benefit only. It's so that we can tell other people about You and share the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I pray that's what we'll do. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks, for listening in and being here.